return is imminent, whether the last days are here. And it's not unusual in the midst of disasters and war that people ponder aloud. Is this the day? Or maybe they remark, surely soon, Lord, surely soon. Or even announce the arrival of Jesus. It doesn't take much of a Google search to figure out that many people are claiming they know exactly the time and the date of when his return. Now, I don't know the hour and the day when it will happen. I know that Jesus himself said that he did not know it either. I also know that with God, time is different, very different. And whilst we might wonder about the delay, one day is like 1,000 days and 1,000 like a day with God. And he is not slow to return. He is not late in coming. He's not changing his mind. But he's waiting for more. What I know and believe is definitely that Jesus is coming again. He is returning. And when he does, all of that pain, all of the suffering, all of the consequences of our actions and at times our own stupidity, all of the wrong and the evil will not only be overcome, but it will be accounted for. It will be judged, it will be weighed, it will be measured. And perfect justice will take place. I truly, truly believe that. And in between, there's nothing that we can actually do to make God love us more. There's actually nothing we can do to make God love us less. Because every single one of us, no matter where we live, how old we are, what we've done, where we're coming from, can accept God's love poured out in his son Jesus until that day. And all the more in times such as this, when we face a national disaster like none other. And global wars that whilst are at bay at the moment, we have no idea who's going to press what button when. And the challenge is that we should not be overcome. That we should not give up. That we shouldn't leave anyone behind, as it were. But instead, all the more as we see the day dawning, in this time, as much as in any other time, we are absolutely aware that we need God. And this is a time when we should not give up being together, when we should put aside our personal preferences and gather together to encourage one another, to spur one another on, that we should be urging each other. And the beginning of this verse says that we should take hearts, our hearts should wrap itself around hope. Hope that we have in us. The hope that Phil spoke about last week, the certain hope in Christ Jesus and his love for us. And that we should be living it out here and now in every moment and in every way. As Phil said earlier, this morning is our Inspire Sunday. And one of our core values is actually based on this passage. So we have loving, which we talked about last week, and this week inspiring. This word spur, this word motivate, encourage, inspire one another is where this was from. And so we are going to be spending some time sharing with one another shortly as something that we've done for quite a while. But we're also going to spend some time in intercessory prayer. Prayer specifically for one another, for our community and for our nation, as well as our world. And in between all of this time of sharing and praying and I'll be sharing thoughts. So all of this is the message. So when we finish sharing, don't go sort of thinking, oh no, there's another half an hour coming. Okay? It's not. It's all together, and it is about us sharing and inspire one another. A time of sharing is one of those creative ways which we want to encourage others. Because it's in hearing from one another. I can stand here and Phil and any other speaker can get up here for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. We can expose and extract and give you all the context, but there is nothing more inspiring than hearing someone's story of how this translated to actual faith happening and us seeing God on the ground in that moment. That's what's inspiring. It's knowing that faith works. That it changes things, that God changes things, that our relationship with God isn't about how much scripture we've learnt off by heart, how many prayers we've said or what we've done. It's actually about who we are and how we relate with our Father every single day with the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So sharing our personal experience inspires others. And you will have had moments in your week this week, your fortnight, your month, where we use the term God showed up. I don't like that term because God's already there. It's just that your eyes were opened to see him, to recognize him, to learn from him. And so if you're thinking my story isn't important enough, it's not big enough, there was no great miracle, can I just suggest that you actually don't really know that? I can remember hearing amazing stories about toilet seats and tea bags, little things that actually inspired one another, things that were tangible in our day-to-day. So I'm going to give you a moment or two to share, to think about the things that you might want to have to share this morning, because what you share might just be that one little thing that someone else needed to hear right now. That one thing that they were needing an answer on. That one thing that made them go, okay, I'll try again, I'll pray again. It might be the one thing that helps somebody say yes to Jesus. So I'm going to give us a moment. Phil has a microphone, and in fact, he let you know that there was some sharing. So we're going to have a time of sharing. And then after the sharing, I'll close in a bit of prayer. We'll spend a few more moments looking at this passage, and then we're going to go into some intercessory prayer for one another and the world. So does anybody have something that they want to share with us this morning about how they have experienced God? Yes, Andrew, thank you. Oh, sorry.
Yes, as Jackie's been talking about, terrible things going on around the world, and that's nothing new in a way. As I left my house this morning to walk my dog, the news in the background was of another bomb going off in the Middle East and more people being killed and all the rest of it. And so as I was walking, it felt a little bit down to start with. But then my eyes were opened, I guess, to some of the things that were going on around me. And, for instance, I picked up a beautiful frangipani flower and saw the beautiful pastel colours fading into one another or merging into one another and the beautiful smell. Moments later, there were bird song and all sorts of beautiful things in the creation around me. And some of you might have come across the concept of pathways to abiding.
Yep.
What are those things that connect you most readily with God? For some people, it's prayer, worship, music, nature, creation, things like that. And that's always been one that I've been conscious of. And it spoke to me in the sense of, despite all the terrible things in the world that occur, despite all the awful things that people do to one another and to our world itself, you know, there is still so much beauty and joy to be found, particularly in God's creation. And that includes what he does in other people, because when people do good things, that is the expression of God coming out through them.
Thanks, Andrew. Yes, I think sometimes we get caught in the question, why is there bad in the world? Well, maybe the question is, why is there so much good in the world? It's God. Does anybody else have something they'd like to encourage us with? Brian, thank you.
One day this week, Suzanne and I went to a group of folks.
Sorry, Brian, can you hold the microphone closer, please?
Hold on.
Thank you. Then we can all hear you. Thank you.
This week, we went one evening to a group of people who are dedicating themselves to try to show that there are evil currents in our society, and they really want to dedicate themselves to moving against those currents using the breastplate of righteousness and all the other good tools that God provides us. And I was just inspired to see these folk from all sorts of different Christian denominations. They were meeting together, they had a nice time together, they spoke together about deep things of their lives, and I felt God turned up there. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
Thanks. Is anybody else who has something to share? Thank you, Rasul.
Hello, everyone.
Really close.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you. So, we're interpreting.
In this week, we heard bad news from our country, Iran, because many people killed by government, unfortunately, and thousands and thousands people and youngest people died. And we are really sad. We went to Mary and Nick's house. Yeah. And we saw they are really sad, and she, especially Mary, cried. And we prayed together. Iranian people in these days, in this week, in these hours, we really need to pray because many families are sad because they gone away, many people. And 2 days ago, we had crash airplane.
Yeah, yes.
And it was bad news. Many people died.
Yeah.
Please, if you hear any news and about news and Iranian people, please pray for us.
Yes. Thank you. And we will be doing that very shortly. We have a large number of Farsi-speaking people who Iran is their home. And it's in a state. And so we feel, and we will be praying very shortly. So thank you for sharing your sadness and your grief for your country and your home with us. Anybody else who would like to share at this point?
I've got a little story I can share.
Yeah, sure.
1 year ago, about this time, someone walked into our church, and we've been praying and praying for an office administrator. And we'd been missing since our Deb had let go of the role for about three or four months. And good to see Merica as a part of our church. 1 year later, about this time, I'd prayed for someone that would have some skills to integrate into the life of our church. I prayed for someone of a different culture. I really did. I felt like we're a bit too Western. We need to have an awareness and grow in our mixed mission to the world. And we need to have someone who's patient with me and understanding and all those things. So I just want to give thanks to God in that divine timing. 1 year later, we've got Miracle serving with us. So thank you very much, sister. Thanks the Lord for
Thank
that.
You. Mm. Right. Anyone else who would like to share? Okay, well then we'll move on a bit. Just before we do, I'll just give a brief prayer for where we're at, but we're going to have some extended prayer later. Father, we do want to come before you and thank you that you are a God who provides. And even in the midst of chaos, just like in very creation, Holy Spirit hovers over and gathers us under your wings and brings order out of the chaos. And so, Father, we rejoice with Andrew, who in the background of bad news and a burdened spirit walks amongst your creation and again hears and sees how wonderful you love what you have created. And Father, we rejoice with Brian, who's inspired at finding a group of people who are really serious about the spiritual warfare and wanting to understand and respond to that, to claim ground, if you like, to speak God's word, to keep evil at bay. And Father, our hearts ache for Iran and for the people that you have brought to us to care for and do life with. And Father, our hearts do ache. And so we need to grab that hope. And Father, we thank you for your provision that you bring us together intentionally. So Lord, help us this morning to not only be encouraged and motivated so that we feel good, but that we're motivated and helped to keep on going, to keep on moving forward, to keep being compassionate and demonstrating your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it has been a big week. Fires rage and bombs drop. Internationally, Australia is receiving millions and millions and millions of dollars in aid from all around the world. And one single comedian who shared a Facebook post has now, through that international community, raised $50 million, as well as everything else. There's an outpouring of sympathy amongst all the mixed up news about what the fires are doing. But tourists are cancelling their holidays and the nation is busy arguing about whose fault it is. And there are people here this morning whose family have lost property and who have been evacuated and who are waiting to hear news. In the meantime this week, as Rasul and Far have shared with us, there's been an escalation in tensions that actually aren't new, but that we haven't heard a lot about until we hear the word Trump and missile, and we're concerned. Because it looked pretty scary there for a while, didn't it? Probably still does. But our reading this morning talks about encouraging one another out of hope, secure and firm in our faith that God is faithful and willful of all his promises. And hope in this context is not about something that may happen or may not happen. Like, I hope to go to Italy again one day. It's really just rather a nebulous hope, isn't it not? But this word hope could easily be translated expectation or confidence or trust. It's more absolute than ethereal. But really, sometimes, isn't it immensely hard to be hopeful? Isn't it sometimes just a little bit difficult to feel hope? When everything is shattered, when disaster strikes, when our souls feel dry, when wave after wave comes to you, the bills, the illness, the tensions, the disappointments, the loss, the frustration, and then you turn on the news. But Romans 5 tells us that when that happens, that when there are sufferings, when there are concerns, that in fact we should boast, we should rejoice. Yes, we should rejoice. Because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character, well, it produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts. And some days I know that I want to say, God, I think my character is well developed enough, thank you very much. And I'm really rather tired. I really would rather not hear a phone call right now. But hope is something we have to take hold of. So put out your hands. You've got to actually grasp it. It's intentional. It's there. Hope is there in Jesus Christ, and it's our job just to walk out and pick it up and wrap our heart around it and never let it go. That is what hope is about. It's about a confidence and a trust and an expectation. Even when our hearts are grieving, it is absolutely holding on to those truths, those commitments, even when we don't feel it. I can remember in the Gospels, I can't remember where right now, but I think it's a soldier, a centurion, who goes to Jesus and says, yes, I believe, but please help me in my unbelief. Yes, I believe, but right now I have a little bit of doubt. Please help me in my doubt. That's hope. It's hope that no matter how you're feeling on the inside, that Jesus has this in control, that he has the answers, that he will act. And we have to take hold of it. It's something you possess. It's something you have to grab hold of and accept as yours. Hebrews 6:19 describes hope as a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Hope is a trustworthy anchor for our souls. It is something that keeps us, holds us, even when the storms rage. Hope is the certainty that Christ lives. Hope is the expectation that he will ultimately bring about justice and put all things right, and that there will be an end to wars and poverty and destruction, and the world will be at peace again, and God will live with his people for eternity. That is hope. And hope is the trust that the Holy Spirit is with me and in me right now as a follower of Jesus. That he doesn't leave and evacuate when it gets hard. But I need to see him more and give over to him more and reach out and wrap my heart around him so that I can live in that hope. Hope is the confidence that the Holy Spirit in me can make a difference right now in me and through me. And hope is the knowledge that he is seen and he knows, that he loves me anyway, no matter what he has seen, and that hope is leading us closer to him. And it is this hope, and in this hope, that we should be spurring one another on. It's a prerequisite to the rest. It's not just surviving, but it's thriving. It's picking up our shoulders. It is lifting our heads. It is looking across at the mess and the chaos, not with despair, but full of compassion that inspires us through love to beautiful actions in that time. Prayer is one of those things that can be a beautiful action. Sometimes I wonder if we fully grasp how active prayer is. Because how many times have you heard, well, all we can do is pray, as if that is somehow a lesser thing? Oh, well, there's nothing to do now but pray. Well, maybe we should start with prayer before we move on. I was speaking to someone on Thursday night, and they were sharing a story with me that captures this very text in a very simple way. A friend of theirs is in New York. I don't know whether they're back or not or how the conversation happened, but they're in New York. They're an Aussie with a very broad Aussie accent. And as they're walking down the street, people who have heard the accent have actually, total strangers, stopped him or her and said, "What's happening is awful. Just want to let you know we're praying." Here's this stranger in a foreign country and people are stopping them and saying, "We're praying. It's terrible and we're praying." And this person found that really encouraging, really inspiring. So never underestimate what those words can mean to someone, especially strangers or acquaintances or people for whom we can do nothing except pray. I am aware that you might risk times when people say, "Well, that's great, but what will that do?" But the news is also known to carry the headlines that say, "Prayers answered." And I'm going to share with you one story that you may or may not be aware of. Just on the new year, news headlines, I remember a number of people were evacuated to, is it Malakuta? There are thousands of people evacuated to a beach on Malakuta. And the headlines were, "Atheist says prayer answers and saves lives." Well, it turns out that this gentleman, David Jeffrey, was an atheist 30 years ago, but has been a Christian for 20-odd years. But he's been speaking to Eternity News, and last night they published an article which, thank you, Kate, I think it was Kate Whitcomb, who had done a like on it, and I saw it on Facebook and got the link to the story. But he has this to say: "Forget about the doom and gloom, there's too many great stories." He's referring to the miraculous events that spared the lives of many in Malakuta, including him and his neighbours. He is truly devastated for those who lost their lives and homes in a small beach town of only 1,000, but he's blown away by all who were saved. As a fireball loomed, so a firewall is about to approach, which was reported to be 60 feet high and moving at 90 kilometres per hour, David and two other old prayer warriors were praying. They said, "We could hear the roar. It sounded like 1,000 freight trains coming at us. Then a huge gust, like someone had opened the door of a furnace, pushed us. It went black as black. The smoke was so thick, it was hard to breathe." And at this point, Jeffrey, which is his surname, along with many others, thought, "We're going to die. If the Lord hadn't answered this next prayer within 30 seconds, we would have. I prayed, 'Lord, if you do not push this fire back now, we need wind from the east.' And as soon as I said that, it started blowing from the east a little bit. Then I got louder and the wind got stronger. And then it got louder again and it got stronger again and I felt it change. I noticed that the bolder I got, the stronger the wind got. So I was yelling, 'In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for rescuing these souls. Push it back, Lord, and rescue us.' It was desperation personified and I did not care who heard me. I knew then what God was then doing, what I was asking. Because if he didn't answer then, we were all dead." So noting that no easterly was forecast, it says what God did was push the fire back from the east, which is impossible, but he did it. And he did it for 5 minutes, which broke the fire front enough to stop it from getting to where we were. that prayer has led to hundreds of people witnessing that. And he is having opportunity after opportunity to speak with his neighbours. Is there still loss? Absolutely. But did people see God in the midst? Absolutely. That is what prayer does. And we're going to have an opportunity to pray. And as you came in this morning, you received a sheet that has prayers on it. Because sometimes I think we feel a little bit overwhelmed for what to pray and how to pray. So this morning, there's some prayers here of intercession. Interceding is when a third party steps into a space and advocates on our behalf. It's actually what Christ did for us before his Father. He interceded and accepted our sin and paid for it. And the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us now. It's what the Holy Spirit does for us constantly, especially when we have no words. Whilst the Holy Spirit will be interceding in these times, we can too. We can join him in his work of prayer. So there are some prepared prayers if you want to pray aloud and you don't know what to say or you're worried about saying something you shouldn't. There's some prayers there. You may want to actively just pray aloud as the Spirit leads you. Can I just say this morning, if you're not a praying person or you feel unqualified to pray or somehow that you're not good enough or that your prayers aren't heard as much as somebody else's, I want to assure you that you can have every confidence that you can come before the throne and that God will hear you and that God will actually listen. We can talk to God because we need to understand that he fully understands our weaknesses, our position, our hesitation, our sin, and our hope. So we're going to start a little differently in that we're all going to start praying together at the same time. You can pray silently, you can pray aloud, you can pray in your natural language. It doesn't have to be English so that we all understand it. This is a time of prayer where everyone can actually pray freely. And imagine the hum that we're going to hear in a second. Then after a little while, we'll be silent while I say a prayer. And then I'm going to invite anybody who wants to pray aloud to do so. And you can pray off of this sheet. You can pray as you feel. And then I will close us off with a prayer of praise. So the only thing I ask is that just leave this prayer of thanks at the bottom. I'm going to say that at the very end to close our service. But we're going to do that. So if we're clear about that, firstly, we are going to stand, or you can sit if you want to, and just each pray all together. Then I will open in prayer and we'll have listening prayer. So I invite you to stand. If you want to stand, you can certainly remain seated. And we'll go to a time of prayer. No one's too young, no one's too old. Doesn't matter what language you're speaking. And not worried about that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity and this freedom to be here in this country today. And Lord, we come before you and our heart aches. And Lord, we pray. We pray for those who are hurting right now because of what's happening in Iran. And Lord, for people who have lost their lives, for people who are hurt. Lord, we pray. We come before you. Lord, I ask that people would be engaged, that we would have this time of prayer, that for everyone who's hurting and knowing that, Lord, prayer is a wonderful thing. So, Lord, we thank you for this. that you have gathered all nations here together. I thank you that we are a variety and a range of people who pray in different ways. Lord, I thank you for hearts that are breaking. Gracious God, rejoicing in your blessings, trusting in your loving care for all, we bring you our prayers for the world. We pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where things have been destroyed, for those who fight hunger, poverty, and disease, for those who have no power to bring change for the better and to renew their hope. In the life of your world, may your kingdom come, O Lord, and your will be done. I invite anyone to pray aloud in any language. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Father, we thank you. We have a hope beyond this life too. And whatever hardships and circumstances that you've declared will take place in this world, we have your hope to sustain us from this life into the next. We pray for courage and for confidence to face every evil with your word and with the power of your spirit, to endure all things in your name and to endure in love and service and hope. We thank you, Lord, that your word gives us promises that we can cling to, and it's proven to be accurate and true over time, and will proven to be true again as we go forward. We ask, Lord, you give us confidence and trust in you, and our hope rests in our eternity with you and the power you give us today. Thank you, Lord, for this present moment.
Life-giving God, by your Spirit you brought creation out of chaos and gave life to the world. Now you sustain all things and still you give life to the lifeless. You have found us and changed us, awoken us and inspired us. You have given us new life in Jesus Christ. You have wooed us in love and created love within us. God, our Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, we give you thanks and praise. Amen.